Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Whoa.
Where's he going?
What?
Fast as you can.
Morning.
Lovely
morning. And we're going to go a little bit, slightly longer this morning, in terms of time anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to run
double,
for a little bit longer.
It's kind of, what's the word? It's all, the planets are all coming into alignment because we've been wanting to go a bit further. You've been wanting a longer episode, and we just suddenly realise that every time you come to Hampstead Heath, it ends up being a bit short because it's...
Because of the lap we do,
loop.
Yeah.
So we'll go a bit longer today.
And
we can't promise to match your personal half marathon targets, but
no.
This should help.
This should help on the
Someone
way,
the other day listened to 3 running commentaries on one run.
Wow.
It was like a binge listen.
I saw that, the 15-miler.
Which
was it Tom Williams, every mile at 8:06 pace?
Yeah.
That's from memory.
That's a run.
Yeah, it is a good run. Nice.
And a runge, because of the binge listening to us.
Solid running.
And it's spring. I mean, it's quite...
springy.
It's grey and nippy.
Yeah.
But it's definitely spring.
Yeah,
and it was the spring equinox of the weekend. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
And you can...
Did not know.
My wife was saying, I don't know if it's just a coincidence, but it feels like it's like a little switch went on, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I certainly feel a bit of a... an uplift generally in people.
Yeah.
But then it's sort of countered by sudden waves of... Everything's so hysterical, isn't it? Every headline just prompts hysteria.
Life in 2020, 21. Everyone, individually, in the media, in government, everyone's closer to the red.
Looks like it,
Just, there isn't as much of a safety net.
Yeah, just need... But at the same time...
Of course, windy as well.
There seems a reluctance to say... everything is just getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers are absolutely flatlining. There's no getting around it.
Yeah, but there is getting around it, because if people get too blasé about that, they'll go back up again.
Not with the vaccines, it won't.
Well, yeah, they will. People can...
No, but no, if it's about hospitalisations, vaccines massively stop that.
Yeah.
Cases might go up a bit, but hospitalisation, serious illness... will be profoundly down, or else what?
Distracted by that brilliant old dog.
Or else why bother with it?
Yeah, but, you know, there is the argument to be made that the lockdown could last till everyone's had the vaccine.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, I hear that, but not necessarily in mine, but I do think there's a... You know, the third wave was trending yesterday. It's not a completely spurious possibility. People could die. They're not policing the borders that well.
Yeah, I think it's... I think it's gone beyond its original
remit. I'm under 50, Paul. The vaccine is not on the horizon for me. And my kids are in school every day. A slightly selfish perspective from Deering here. I'll give you that.
Yeah, it's... yeah, it's just I find it a bit odd. If it's about the NHS, then this wait until everyone's vaccinated, including kids, it's horrendous.
Yeah,
you look at the numbers of affected kids; it's so low as to be non-existent. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's not, again, it's not weird. About kids getting ill; it's about kids passing it on to people who die.
Again, we come to the vaccines.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of old people have vaccine.
They've all had it. They've all had it. Everyone who's wanted a vaccine is over. But there's the... we like the idea of... I think we just become obsessed with the idea of safety.
Yeah.
This is all in the context of obvious... People are still reacting to the extreme fear they were feeling this time last year. I get it. Yeah. I understand it.
Yeah, and but I think it's just sensible to come out slow. You know, we're nearly there. It's kind of fine. It's like you say, it's the media. Just, you know, the kids are back in school. Loads of people have been vaccinated. Spring is here.
Yes.
There is a whiff of hope in the air.
Yeah, but there should be. Yeah.
Yeah. But
we don't seem to want to celebrate it much. And in a month when we're getting no deaths from COVID, it's going to be pretty absurd that we're still 2 months away from normal life. I think it's going to be hard to... It's just going to be hard to justify.
Yeah, I think it's a balancing act. It's like we said right at the beginning of this year, you know. Ultimately, both things have to be true and they are in conflict with each other. And in the meantime, people are very heightened, so they get very excited about everything else.
Yeah, like the... Like the No Holidays headline today.
Yeah.
Nothing's actually changed. They're going to review evidence in April. No travel till May the 17th.
That's right.
And then they review it. It's just...
Or indeed the war with Russia, which started up at the weekend. That was strange.
But, yeah, it's the gap between signal and noise. It's like... The noise about things seems so heightened, it's really weird.
Yeah. I think that this... It's a completely different thing, really, but I think in the long game, in modern life, I think 24-hour news media and the internet are very bad for information.
They don't help, no. They really don't help.
It just flattens everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how much hysterical news we have, none of which changes anything.
Yeah.
We want actual events and change, not constant wild talk.
And it's then, well, it's like...
Can I just make note this hill? We just came across the bottom there.
And then just straight up.
Just went up the hill.
Pretty tough hill.
I feel a bit stupid, but I feel I should have clocked that was happening.
Yeah. It's a big
old... Halfway up, I was like, what's happening in my life?
It's a big old hill. Yeah, in terms of... jabs. I had my second last week. Rachel had a first.
You see, you just threw that away. But you said he's two jabs, dear listener. He's had both. It's a bit of a context, what you were just saying.
I've been Pfizer.
There's a glow off him, like a ready break advert.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
But we didn't realise that you're not meant to... Apparently... You're not meant to drink after a jab.
Oh,
of course we.
God, I should let you know.
Had a celebratory booze up. quite hard to discern the jab's effect.
Yeah.
Next morning.
I really felt ill the next morning.
Yeah.
I really felt great.
Felt really dehydrated. And, but yeah, it's. Kids back at school.
I got the jab yesterday, but it was a punch to the face from a boxer.
Felt surprisingly sparky. Which way were we going? Straight up?
Yeah, straight
okay.
up. Why? Did we go that way before? No, we didn't. We didn't. I know what I'm doing.
Right. We'll
don't wait.
We're basically just running around the heath.
Last time we came here, it's on record that we didn't get lost. And I can't let that happen again. I can't, Paul. Can't let us not get lost again.
And what have you been... What have you been up to in the last week? You've been charging around, you've been running, you've been...
Yeah, I've got some gigs this week.
All right.
Zoom gigs.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which, looking forward to it, it's a good thing. Also slightly...
quite stressful.
It's just a little bit upsetting how far from gigging I've got. I mean, I'm into it, really. In life, I embrace it.
Right.
But the thought... It's scary to find myself thinking... Oh, what shall I say when I do my performance?
Yes,
it's
yeah,
such
yeah.
Such a long way from where,
how
not
do I...
just where we were at the beginning of lockdown, but where we had sat
yes.
for several years at the beginning of lockdown.
I think that's going to. I think that's going to be one semi uncomfortable truth is that for all the chat and considering of the futures.
Yeah.
which most comics have done, in the absence of anything else, what are you meant to do anyway?
Yeah.
We're going to end up essentially in the same place.
Yeah.
Just waiting to go on stage, thinking of what's a good opener.
Yeah, exactly. I'm worried about, this is a real tiny worry, but I worry about forgetting those great little lines that sit in between.
That sit in between the bits.
Because they come up as like a riff.
Yeah.
When you do them, you always get a laugh out of them, but they kind of don't go on the into the files.
Yes.
And sometimes you're looking back, you see maybe there's a video of your set, and you think, God, that was a good joke.
Yes.
I used to do that at all the gigs.
Yeah, you look at... Because I've been going through my stand-up files, like taking notes on the iPhone, putting it on a master document or whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go through your old set... And you forget how ornate it was.
Yeah.
And how layered it was.
Well, it's like...
And how many years it took to build up.
That's right. And you find, to be an ongoing stand-up, doing the same, you know, the kind of set pieces, you just find all the jokes between the jokes, don't you?
Yeah.
And everyone you find that's any good, you keep.
You keep in and then it builds, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lovely process.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be rusty.
Yeah, we're going to be
rusty. We're going to find something new.
Yeah, I've got... My first, I'm just booking everything in, really. I've just told my man.
So yes.
How can I describe my man? He's a lovely fella. And he runs my diary.
He's his agent, by the way, not his valet.
Yeah.
We've been watching a lot of Jeeves and Worcester. Should we pick Jeeves, or is that wrong?
And I've just told him to just... take any gigs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just need to gig again. Anything that pays for its own travel, I'm prepared to do them because I do need a new set. So
meanwhile,
just building it up.
The emails that your man is receiving come straight to me because I haven't got an agent.
Yeah.
And I've been saying, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do that one. No. Yeah,
too far. No.
No, I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage. No, not going there.
But
let's cut the corner.
Yeah, the gigs are... I've got my first one back on April the 24th.
I was just going to say, you know, because obviously we were talking about the wider world, but it's good to... I just want to draw those two things together in a positive way, because this springness, it does apply to us too, doesn't it? You can feel it. It's like we are looking at what we're going to be doing next, you know, as comedians, as running commentary, as families.
Yeah.
I noticed yesterday that all the... TV things we're watching, they're all coming to an end.
Right.
We've only got one series of Call My Agent left, and they're only short series.
We've
gone to the last series of Jeeves and Worcester. I've never got to the end of that box before.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's going to be a raft of new telly
made. And it's interesting, you just said, not just you want a new set, you need a new set. So the gigs are going to be there.
Yes.
The through line into the stand-up future is clear for you.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's just but you, it, as I say, it's easy to forget how hard it was to get the last one.
Yeah,
you know,
it took I only took two or three decades.
Yeah. But it's not like the last one was the only set I ever had. It was a sort of like probably the fifth or sixth 20 that I'd had.
There is a bit of a wave, isn't there?
Every
now and again, when you can find it, it completely refreshes.
Yeah.
But it's a long game. It's kind of like gardening.
Yeah. And have you been running much?
So,
run.
Yeah, I had a good, I feel a bit guilty actually because I posted on Saturday.
I saw that.
About my guilt stack.
Yeah.
I had a really, I woke up on Saturday morning and indeed on Monday morning thinking, oh, I'm going to be so hungover. My legs hurt so much. And then getting up 5-10 minutes later and thinking, I think my legs hurt because I've been in bed holding them in stupid positions. Despite the fact that I drank for England last night, I also went to bed at about 10.
Right.
And I got a constitution like an ox. So 15 minutes into what's going to be the worst hangover of my life, I'm thinking, I'm fine, actually.
Right, okay, that's good.
So on Saturday...
Quick recovery.
Yeah. So Saturday morning, I decided... Woo! I thought you were going to get eaten. I decided no, I'm not going to do a fast 5K this morning.
Yeah.
I stood up out of my bed and my legs didn't work, you know, it was awful. And I'm exaggerating slightly, which I feel bad about because you've got a friend whose knee doesn't work. But, you know,
yes, yeah,
no, I'm somewhere on that trajectory.
It's fair enough.
And I made my decision. And then I stepped out of the bedroom and there were my running clothes.
Yeah.
But then...
You made your decision not to run.
Yeah, I made my decision.
You looked into the eye of the monster and decided, no,
yeah, the child,
I will not battle with you today.
The child I promised a swimming trip looked me in the eye and said, no swimming.
Yeah.
So I am... Anyway, so the thing is, when it isn't a parkrun, you realise what a luxury it is to miss a parkrun. You have all that guilt and everything, but what's done is done.
Yeah.
Whereas that guilt stack genuinely guilted me. And of course, it's plenty of time.
Yeah.
Sat about for a bit, read the paper.
Saturday's a long day.
Had a couple of cups of coffee. And I was like, oh, right then. I went out and ran 5K really fast.
Good for you. Good for you. And how did it feel?
It was good. Do you know what I've done? I've laid out a different 5K in my local streets. And we were talking about it last time. It's really interesting laying out a 5K because it makes you realise how far it is.
Yeah.
We really do concertina parkruns.
Yeah.
I certainly do. I think back to all the ones I've done in other places. You think, oh, yeah, it's just up there and back. And then you try and run 5K from your house and you're like... I've only gone a mile.
Yeah.
This way. And
did you see that guy who was on Twitter who was stuck at just over 20 minutes of his park runs,
right?
Searching for advice as to how to beat 20 minutes.
Oh, well, you're the man for that.
Yeah.
What did you suggest?
I suggested speeding up near the end.
Brilliant.
I mean, that's a way to nip under it, isn't it?
Yep.
You want to run a bit faster so that by the time you get to the end, it's under 20 minutes.
Oh, nice. Particularly if you can run a bit faster by the amount of seconds over 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. If you're coming in at 20.06, if you take 7 seconds off that, you're beating 20 minutes.
Also, if you're coming in at 20.06, that's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So you'll be fitter back then.
You loads.
Or have I misunderstood? But how did the runner respond to this advice?
He seemed okay. I don't think he'd ever thought of it before.
In all seriousness, I was talking about this.
Simply by moving your arms and legs quicker.
I talk about this in my book. It's still amazing to me. I've totally got used to it. And I've indeed, as we know, tried to embrace one of my own. But it really is not natural to me to have anything in the extra in the tank at the end.
Yeah.
So I just always think, well, if I had it in the tank, I'd have been using it. I think there's the other level, apart from my lack of imagination, it's a certain obstinacy. I think that I'm quite good at the fast running in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, as in being committed to it.
Yes.
So say I set off at a park run, I think, yeah, this is my natural speed.
Yeah.
Get to 4K. And my body's like, yeah, right, natural speed 6 months ago when you were half the lighter, said, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I still wouldn't really slow down there. I just grit my teeth and go, yeah, well, this is how fast I'm running.
Yeah.
So that's the upside.
Yeah.
And but then you get to 250 metres from home and people start going, I'm like, how and what are
What's
you
left
doing?
Yeah.
It's really... Even from here where I get it and I do try and do it myself, it's still a long way from where I live.
Well, if you've got too much left, there's a problem, isn't there? If you've got too much left at the end, you haven't given enough early.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you've got...
And there's usually a sell-by date on it. It doesn't last forever. You should go that way.
Go on then.
Made a slightly wrong decision there.
There's normally...
Stay with it.
There's normally something left in the tank.
Yeah.
But...
I'd say my new 5K, I went out last week. It was another... It's good for me to have 30 miles a week at the back of my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm always just doing little things. You know, I did that run, but I do a bit more, you know.
Yeah.
So I went out one afternoon and ran a really gentle 5K.
Right.
But with a view to using the excuse of planning a new parkrun equivalent as a reason to do it, you know.
So is this a two-run day you did?
Yeah, it was a two-run day last week. But nice. Oh, I hate running in the afternoon.
Right.
And I was going really slow and really like, ugh, I can feel my lunch, you know.
Yeah.
And we can go either way here, which is fair, go through the middle. We're going up through the heathy gorse to our...
We're at the back end of the
least
heath.
...least familiar corner of the heath, it's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, and it, just nice comparison, because I went out that day and felt very sluggish and lardy and didn't really enjoy going slow because it's supposed to be a short run.
Yeah.
So it made it take ages, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yeah, yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
And then having totally let myself off doing it on Saturday, I went, oh, go on then. And I went out and ran the same course at pace and, you know, enjoyed it more.
Yeah, the contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those, I suppose, what you got there, you got a combination of sort of junk miles and a practical purpose.
Yeah.
But those junk easy miles can be enjoyable.
And it's all
if they're serving up.
Look at the skyline. We didn't see it last time because it was in fog. Lovely.
But those junk miles are nice if you're just playing and there's no purpose to them.
Yes.
That's so, the majority of my mileage, in fact.
Exactly. And then in these times, exacerbated by trying to find something new and interesting in one's local streets, you know.
Yeah.
It's another spring effect. I've never missed the country harder than in the last few weeks. And thank you in general for all the photos. It's kind of quite heartening.
It is nice.
I completely understand it when someone says, oh, basically what we're saying, I went out the other day, didn't really fancy it. It wasn't really up for it. There was a, you know, couldn't go the way I wanted, or there was a flood, or there was a frog. And but the pictures are of these places where if we could run there, we'd be going, oh, it's the country.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doing some gardening here.
Yeah, they are. I've noticed an awful lot of pruning going on, especially in
this. What's weird about this is that how can this just, this earth and fence still look posher than the Parkland Walk?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Parkland Walk, they've kind of, they've really cut
scorched
back.
Earth.
And also in Highgate Woods as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's true.
What? Why is that? You do nature. Why do they do that?
Well, good gardening. I think it's a fine line, because as you were saying, there's plenty of council operatives in places like that who aren't necessarily
won't describe as gardeners.
But on the other hand, Monty
Community
Don
service.
Himself, he's so many times, God as well came back in front of him, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, and I'm a terrible gardener. I really know nothing of it, but I watch it with interest. Anyway, he just so often says,
they're like a prune.
What you need to do is cut it right back.
Yeah.
And and it's amazing how, you know, it depends on the plant, it depends on the situation. It's amazing how often that works well to just, you know, like a rose bush.
Yeah.
If you cut it down to some sticks sticking out of the ground,
you think it's over.
You get a bigger, better rose bush.
Right.
And if you ever see a lovely rose bush dotted with beautiful roses, that means someone's come and taken away, killed all the roses that didn't have that potential. You know,
it's a
street gardener is a hard task.
Have we stumbled upon possibly the 20-minute mark in this morning's podcast, an apt metaphor for our comedy sets?
Cut it right back.
Cut it right back so it can grow again to something potentially bigger and better and more flavourful.
Well, this is us in the flower bed. Me and you are going to cut it right back.
Right back.
And you're going to come back blossoming. And mine will just die and I'll do something else.
Let's hope so. End up as mulch. Compost. Look at that. I mean, that is
brilliant, isn't it?
That's amazing, isn't it?
Picture that lady. I'm copying a picture idea. Sorry, she was not listening. She doesn't need
that's
to.
That's kind of... That's so what's happened there then? Has that tree just died?
Yeah, that tree's died.
It's an old tree. It's an old tree.
And it's
fallen over?
Well, I think what's happened to it is, if you completely denude a tree of its bark around the bottom,
right,
it'll die.
Right, and that's what they've
done.
It looks
to me like this tree died, then fell over, rather than fell over and died, if you know what I mean. Gosh, it's beautiful, though,
isn't it? Amazing, isn't it?
Looks like a special effect.
Yeah, it just looks like something out of Jurassic Park.
Guillermo del Toro film. It's really
incredible. What an incredible piece of living art, Rob.
Yes.
To fall up, to come upon it in the woods there. Splendid trees.
Do you remember Brian Sewell?
Oh, Brian, dear Brian Sewell.
Brian Sewell, I heard him interviewed once, and he said,
Yes,
when I came on the train to London, I didn't speak like this at all.
Oh, my God,
but
no.
I thought that other people did. So I started talking like this.
Oh, splendid.
And then they really stopped.
We should be careful doing that in Hampstead.
Yes, of course. We'll find the shoe lights will come out from the woods.
You know what? It's all nature.
Suggesting the bro.
Look at these two trees. I'm going to go between them. You run between them. Go on, show us. Demonstrate. Go back up and come through the trees because it's very exciting. Duality. Nature and nurture. The old and the new. Growth. No, you're missing it. There he is. Here he comes. Oh no. I didn't realise what skills I'd brought to bear. oh no. What do you want to do? You want to go straight up into the gap?
We're going to get it.
Third time lucky.
Third
Comedy
time
lucky. Comedy Imperative is going to stop him getting through this now. Oh, you're going to... Yes! Okay, you've hit me up with some two philosophical things to damp down the silliness of my pure boredom. That thing about echoes, you know, nature, the gardening being like our comedy sets and the Shalom game, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know where I went yesterday with my wife?
Where did you go?
Woodbury Down, the reservoir.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And how was that?
Walked, looked at all the birds. It was fantastic.
Nice.
It's only cross quite only about 10% of the time.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple of other people sort of trying to run. I scared them by going, go on!
Have you... Did the return to Woodbury, which people who listen to this podcast regularly will know that that's an environment that stopped people running around it because of disruptions to the nature.
Yeah,
they're in. Are you at peace with that more as you when you return as a visitor? Can you at all see their point?
No, I think they're wrong.
Right,
I think there's a snobbery there. But if I want to enjoy the lake, then I'm going to have to be cool about it. I mean, I saw here's the two sides of it.
Yeah,
there's a sign that says please don't run. It's bad for lockdown and it disturbs the wildlife. And every time I see that, I think, I'd like to see the evidence for that.
Yeah, totally.
And then every time I'm there and I see anything that stomps or tramples in any way, I think, well, they're allowed to go, you know.
Yes.
But the other side of it is, I saw a nature warden there. You know, he works there, right? But he doesn't run the place.
Yeah.
And he was nice. I went and asked him about a bird I'd seen. And the woman came running past and he stopped her running and I thought, I'm not going to be angry with this guy. He's just doing what he's got to do, you know. So it's just two sides. Yeah. It was a Chetty's warbler, by the way. You ever heard of a Chetty's warbler?
I haven't.
I saw a pair yesterday. And you rarely see them, you know, Paul, because they're in the reeds. They hide in the reeds. He doesn't care.
Well, they... and they're going to come out now. The runners aren't allowed to clomb down. Is it a snobbishness or is it just a... I don't know, it sort of comes from a... doesn't necessarily come from a bad place, does it? It comes from a...
No.
...sense of the fragility of ecosystems, etc. But
it is complicated.
It feels a bit unfair, though. It just feels a bit unfair.
And also, I think it's a... Even if it is an anti-runner thing, I think it's a symptom rather than a cause. I should think someone at Woodbury Down, despite the fact that they open it and the nature reserve and there's a cafe and everything, I just think there's some people who wince at the thought of any people going there.
Yes.
Because they're thinking of the birds.
Yes.
And that's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, the birds yesterday. I mean, just incredible. These Chetty's warblers, great crested grebe. We saw a swan trying to impress another swan.
Nice.
She was not impressed. And it's no wonder, because it was like watching someone in a sports car going, right. In the windows. I thought, mate, you're embarrassing yourself.
You great. Do occupy an interesting Venn diagram of personal characteristics, don't you? Because I imagine most people who were...
He's actually got his Venn diagram out. He's spreading it out on the bench.
Most people who are into birds, I imagine, aren't into running. I mean, that seems self-evident, doesn't it, from what's happened at the wetlands?
Yeah.
I can imagine there's not many... If you organised a race for bird watchers into running... I'm not saying you'd be on your own, but do you think you'd be that busy? I mean,
to operate to roll out what's almost a cliche and one that we've really knocked
looking good, bro,
in other people over time.
Yeah,
I'm not really a runner.
No, but one of our things.
I really am, but I just didn't come from there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, isn't it? I think that if you want to work out where I come from, is that I'm into things you can get into.
Yeah.
So it's really unbalanced.
Yeah.
It's like when people say, God, you're so into I don't know, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Sherlock Holmes, James Bond. And then I'm like, yeah. And then we talk about one of the other ones, and I can just get just as excited about that.
Yes.
And I'm the same with bird watching.
Yes.
Running. To quote
Walt Whitman, I am large. I contain multitudes.
Oh, yeah, but I have lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, thank you.
And I sound my barbaric yawp.
Yes.
You can't really say it without sounding it, can you?
Yeah.
There are some people around. Maybe we'll sound a barbaric yawp in a bit.
But there are... yawp! And the wetlands...
These daffodils are even better than last time we
They're lovely, yeah. Really it's not good. Like it's stopping us running around here, is it? There is a lot of places to run.
No.
It just felt a bit... You just felt a bit told off, being told that you couldn't run there. It felt a bit abrupt, didn't it?
That's it. We're okay with it. We understand. Oh, I got a picture by the mistake, that's why. Sorry, but they're worth getting, aren't they? Still purple crocuses in the foreground. I thought the purple crocuses were done. That's great.
Here we pass the Martin Lewis stand.
Yeah, and the magnolia tree last time we came.
No, Martin Bell.
That's right.
Is he there? I think he is there.
I think it's...
holding court.
Martin... I'm trying to do a joke where I segue into the professionals. I think it's Lewis Collins.
Yeah.
Martin Doyle. Yeah, look at this magnolia. It's positively glowing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Makes Kenwood itself, which is painted kind of cream. Not drab, but it's soft.
This place has given a lot of people pleasure over the lockdown, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's the place to be. Yeah. And there's just enough room for everyone to do what they do and be what they be.
Yeah.
Like, for example, if you want to admonish a tree, like that woman we saw last time... Or sing your little song along with you.
It's like a kind of folky happening vibe. See, our relationship.
I said hello to Martin.
Our relationship is warming with him. We're now saying hello to him.
Yeah.
Next week we'll be stopping.
It's all the steps, you know. You start with getting his name right.
Yeah. It's a basic. How's moneysupermarket.com going there? A doll! That'll be next week. Yeah.
Excellent. All the birds. So out of the lake.
The Hampstead warblers meeting the benches.
Brian Sewell, I saw Martin Bell up the road.
And I thought everybody talked like this.
And I meant
that should begin. I saw that swan.
Yeah.
Try and impress the other swan.
Yes.
And it was doing a stupid thing where it's puffing its breast out, sticking its wings up all fancy, dropping its head down, and then swimming in pulses.
Right. Okay.
And then I looked up and away from it at the tree and saw the twisted turns of the branches.
Right.
And realised that that's the same thing. Those branches have kind of grown steadily and then gone. Blah, 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 and then steadily.
You
and
saw
then,
the blah, blah, echo. Of the tree and in the swan's behaviour.
I witnessed the pulse of the seasons in nature. Look, there's some serious gardening.
Yeah.
This photo was massive. Story.
Massive pruning going on. Huge prune.
What a prune. And that, you see, this is a prime example. I don't know much, but this is rhododendron. So, that one's going to grow back strong.
Yeah.
That's not going to have any trouble being cut back. It can handle it.
Should we go this way? Should we go?
Okay, good, yeah.
This little thing.
Nice. Coming out of Kenwood Gardens, but carrying on across the heath. So what about your week's running? How's it been?
It hasn't been that much going on, actually, this week. I did... I've had a couple of... The main news is that I've left the NHS.
Okay. Under a cloud?
No.
Oh, good.
Absolutely not. I left it in perfectly good spirits. It just became very apparent.
Do you want to go down over the bridge or along the road?
Should we go along the road?
Yeah, okay, good.
It became increasingly apparent that I was just no longer necessary.
Always a lovely feeling.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's not, is it? That's the problem. to be no longer necessary. No, to be no longer necessary in an environment you don't understand is quite a draining.
Quite
a draining feeling. And the
it's also difficult when one is a comedian. You forget that people know that about you, and it gives you a role in any given situation.
I suppose so. Yeah, but the COVID wards have gone down, thankfully, from 3 to a barely half full 1.
Yeah, again, a great news in general.
Yeah, fantastic.
Specifically for you, a bit of a downer.
No, but fantastic news. I mean, fantastic news.
Yeah.
But if you're there to help the surge, the girl who was who I was helping on the COVID wards was given another ward to look after.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's very fluid there. Things move quickly, obviously.
Yeah, right.
So it kind of nullified my role. And it then struck me that as much as I was volunteering, they were talking about maybe training me up to do things in pharmacy.
Yeah.
And I just realised that as much as I wanted to be helping, I was sort of in a place where someone who worked in pharmacy could be.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? There's no point training me up.
Yeah, it's not
because I'm not going to be here.
It's
a waste of... I'm not here to drain your resources.
Oh, wow. Tree creeper. Sorry, can you see it? That's an exciting one.
Oh.
See that one?
Yeah.
Watch it go downwards along the tree. It's got food in its mouth as well. Good Lord, I didn't get a picture. Oh, that's a rabbit.
Let me just tie my shoelace. Yeah, so I thought... It just doesn't... I'm not helping in any way, so...
And it's the thing, it's that fundamental thing, isn't it? It's nice to... Well, you weren't volunteering, you were being paid, but it's nice to do something, to give something back, you know?
Yes, yeah.
But ultimately, in real terms, you are doing a job. It's a job.
Yeah. I'm there to... So it was sort of... It just got a bit confused, and I'm sort of... I know it's a laugh and everything, but I'm too old to be hanging around an environment that I don't understand, pretending to be busy when I'm not. Do you know?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
We were talking about it, but it's strangely like, isn't it, being much younger and having those jobs?
Yeah, it's
that
fine.
We used to have before we found an excuse to never do a proper job again.
Yeah. But it's sort of. I said to the. I did everything right. I went to the girl I was helping. I said, listen, we both know I'm not needed. And she just laughed and totally agreed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like there was no sense of I don't get it. I mean, it's...
So how much was it like the end of The Littlest Hobo when you left?
How much was it like what?
Like the end of The Littlest Hobo or The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Did you carry your stuff in a little bag and walk off hitchhiking up the road?
It was a little bit like that. They were actually kind enough to buy me a bottle of wine.
Oh, that's nice.
Which was very nice. Which I'd managed to drink by the time I got to Warren Street Chew.
Was it quite a small bottle? I hope it was quite a small bottle.
No, I felt lucky to work there.
By the way,
for the brief period of time that I did, it was amazing.
Swimming pond, I don't know about this one, but the ladies of Stoke Newington are excited about...
Is it opening?
Getting back to the reservoir from April 30th, I think it is.
Is it? Right.
Something like.
Because I think the Lido's opening from March the 29th in
Park Road. Yeah, it might be
Park Road.
First, March 30th. It's soon anyway, and people are getting excited about it, which is fair dues.
No, that'll be really nice.
Because the wild swimming movement is another thing that's been really exciting. The nice thing is I know a few different people, women.
Yeah.
And they're all, you know, they're sort of, some of them know each other, but they're not directly connected. And they're all into it. And they're all totally into it, you know. Just
yes. Oh, yeah. Same here. My wife's like that, yeah.
Yeah.
She's can't
wait.
Oh,
she's on the list.
She can't wait to get back into it.
Don't look back.
That's it. That's that dog.
The dog is trying.
That it would be reassuring if
stay with her.
It would be reassuring if the dog wasn't called Bear.
Yeah,
Bear, scary, frightening bear.
Do you know the provenance of the word bear?
I don't know.
Hey, let's go around this side of this lake. You don't need this, do you?
I'm going to. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Bear.
Yeah. In lots of old languages. The word for bear is the unnameable one, or the brown thing.
Right.
And bear has come from brown thing, because you weren't never supposed to use its actual name.
Right.
Because it would hear it and come. Right. Like Voldemort. There you go.
Bear.
Funny enough, that bear didn't hear it and come.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I don't know how rare tree creepers are, really. I think that someone's going to get in touch and say, come on, Rob, there's tree creepers everywhere. Get over it. Get confused. There's two birds, the tree creeper and I think the other one's a nuthatch, and they both go up, they both go on the right close to the trunk of the tree, but one goes up and one goes down.
The tree creeper community can be pretty vociferous.
Yeah, you bet.
They can once rattled, they can be pretty outspoken.
A few egg avatar tree creeper fans on Twitter say, what are you talking about? Tree creeper, you're everywhere, mate. What are tree creepers coming out of ours, mate? Sick of them. Coming out here, creeping up our trees.
Kickstart.
Yeah, it was weird, the work thing, because I was only there like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I had very little in common with anyone who was there.
Yeah.
But I still felt sorry to say goodbye.
Well, that's lovely,
isn't it? I still got on quite well with a few of them, like in a way that was just like, oh, this is really nice, you know.
And just companionship in general.
Yeah, just generally going into work and chatting to people about the football and the weekend and just, yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I'll really miss that aspect of it. And I'll miss the running back from work because it was a really cozy, tidy way to just snaffle 4.5 miles on a day when it didn't even feel like going for a run, you know.
It's a negative way to put it, but it's, what's a better way of putting it? Not junk miles, but easy, perhaps easy miles.
Yeah, just
miles.
Kind of easy, convenient.
All miles are good.
Yeah.
So it's easy miles, it's gimmies, you know.
Easy, convenient, fitting with your life miles.
Yeah.
I need to get home. I could go on the tube or I could run and it would take about the same time.
Yeah. And I always love that, whether you're cycling, walking or running, when you're in the city, it doesn't have to be London, you know, in the big city, the big bad city, when you just make your peace with the geography of it in that way.
Yes.
Realise that your house is down the road from wherever else, you know, they're all on the same bit of ground.
There's a practical nature to it, isn't there? You're just running home from work, it's quite nice. But
you're going to miss it, but you didn't regret the decision, though.
No, not at all, because, as I say, I'd reached the end of any purpose there.
Well,
that's the thing.
Of course, if you hadn't had COVID yourself, you'd have got there sooner, so...
Yeah, no, that's the... Well, that and the intricacies of the application system.
Yeah, all that stuff.
But, yeah, the COVID myself, early February, didn't help things. That's the last thing you want, the people helping with the COVID response with COVID.
Yeah, it's kind
of... Oh, yeah, let Paul help. Oh, he's got it. Didn't he tell you?
Paul, can you just lick these patients? You've got what?
Live and learn.
Live and let die.
Move on.
Man with a Golden Gun.
Yeah.
Spy Love Me, next, of course, Moonraker.
Pussycat.
Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah.
Nicole Scherzinger, singer, obviously. Yeah.
Sleeper. What's Up, Tiger Lily.
Pulp, Blur, Oasis.
Yeah. It ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it.
Midnight in Paris.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Mornington Crescent. Important stuff to have said, I think.
Yeah.
Sorry to keep going on about birds, but what's that?
What have you spotted now?
Exactly. Blimey, something heck. Unusual.
Holy heck.
I don't know what it is. It's like a heron or a cormorant, but it's like a white cormorant. I think it's just a heron. It's too far away. Whatever it is, it's unusual. You just have to take my word for it. I'll go through this mud.
Call that unusual.
I think I've seen him here before. I think it's some cousin of a cormorant that I don't know, which is like got a big white front.
Right.
Oh, hey, up. And, you know, I don't want you to excited about the comedy here, but...
Huge dogs, aren't
they? I don't think it's the shag.
Yeah. So I'm hoping I can take some of the habits that I quickly picked up in my brief flirtation with, inverted commas, a normal life.
Yeah.
And apply them to my everyday life as a currently inconsequential comic. And just be, you know, get to the table a bit earlier, etc.
Yeah.
But it's not really working out. if you want the truth. I mean, obviously I can't run home from the... As I run upstairs from the kitchen, you know.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
really... It's not the same, but... Some discipline's been maintained.
How are things at your house these days? But, you know, who's there? Is everyone kicking back?
Well...
What's your blend?
Rachel is there. She's working from home.
Yeah.
And doing a course. And still suffering, it has to be said, a little bit from her flirtation with the disease of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
She's still a bit tired from time to time.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it does, the symptoms do intensify with hangovers.
Right, but still.
Above and beyond that, she still is a bit more tired than not. But she takes on a lot. She works really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm constantly telling her to do that. She's the polar opposite of me.
Yeah.
And then we've got Rudy, who's just started going to school yesterday, in fact, at the Brit School.
Yeah.
Bonnie's
so is he commuting to Croydon?
He's commuting to Croydon,
that's tough.
Yeah, he sets off about 6:30.
Wow.
But he's missed an awful lot of that course.
Yeah,
it's a real shame.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's a real tragedy, really. But anyway.
Well, we've said it before and said it again, but it's most difficult for these, for young adults. Well, actually, it's difficult for little kids as well in a different way.
Yes.
But for young adults, you've got these kind of exciting, maturing, finding out who you are, finding out who your friends are moments that you can't just do later, can you?
No, you can't, no. Rudy missed his bar mitzvah. That was a big miss.
Yeah.
And he's missed all sorts of experiences.
I think that because neither of my children would have admitted that they were looking forward to going back to school at all.
Right.
Or that they thought going back to school was a good idea. In a combination between their Deering style effortless commitment to lockdown.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, that they couldn't be bothered with school.
Right, yeah,
but
yeah.
They both seem to me to be...
Are they enjoying it?
...glowing from the socials.
Good, good,
just
good.
Just so nice. Like you said about your work, I mean, they've both very much got their groups of friends who
they're
really enjoying. But it could also be groups of near strangers, couldn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's just anyone, really.
Yeah.
It's just that sort of... I mean, I've always been innately social.
Yeah.
And I will just get on with anyone.
Yeah. That's right, it's good.
It's not even an ability, really. It's just what I'm like.
That's
you know?
In nature.
It's just easier, isn't it? Just that's easier good. To get on with people.
Yeah, and it's directly... It's no coincidence that you ended up doing the job you do. It's, you know, you're a citizen of the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a stranger. It's just a friend you haven't met yet. Sorry, I try and avoid clichés like the plague.
Old McIntyre finds it hilarious when we go for a walk, because obviously a lot of people recognise him.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then I tend to end up chatting to an awful lot of people anyway.
It's like a
tend to sort of drag
like
him
a Mexican
in.
Standoff. Either yeah. they're talking to him or you're talking
yeah, or
to
I'm
them.
Approaching them. Yeah. we had a walk the other week round. Hampstead. We bumped into Ed Miliband, yeah. who of course knows
the whole band, the drummer.
Yeah, yeah. Who of course knows him.
I was thinking of the Steve Miliband.
So we had a bit of a chat with him about books, and then we bumped into a real one of those really off the deep end conspiracy theorists.
Yeah,
who came up and said looked just a little bit furtive. Came up and said, "You two got it. You're in position of communication. You should be telling everyone." Telling him what? You know.
That's such a good start.
You know. So I said, what do you mean? What do you mean, you know? You know, come on, mate. You know, we all know it. He was one of those kind of cryptic comments. Yeah. Bill Gates and his gang, you know.
Yeah, you know.
You know. That's what they want you to think.
You've got to keep it slippery, haven't you? Can't commit can't to anything that could be argued out of.
Yeah, can't be any kind of facts or actual theories. Just, you know.
Keep it slippery, you know.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. What you're saying. Yeah, that's, yeah.
That's it. If you don't know,
said.
No point in telling you.
Yeah, enough said, mate.
Not enough said.
We all know. What? What do we know?
Hey, listen. Different question.
Yeah.
When we come back here to the track,
yeah.
What's the challenge? What are we going to do? We're just going to do fast 5Ks, or is it going to be...
Try and get on without paying?
Yeah.
Avoid that. Avoid that bloke. They've obviously...
You know. Never going to happen.
You know.
No, we'll
do some 5 fast Ks, but we'll do some fast 1Ks and just sort of build up and do some proper training.
My absolute dream...
Yeah, go on then.
...is to come here and change inside the building.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'm sure that'll... It's good to have a dream. I'm sure it will happen. Look out, mate. There we go.
No, absolutely. Because I'm finding, I think that I've got a kind of fascination with fascination is the right word, yeah. Because I'm kind of happy and sad all at once about progression.
Right.
Running cars.
Yeah.
I really love the pure idea of getting faster and faster. I think that'd be very difficult for me, but I could really learn from doing it.
What you mean? In one run, you mean?
In one run.
Yes.
But
I think you would learn a lot.
I also find I have a kind of a terror of doing it in too mathematical a way. I'd rather try and do it like a... I want to do it...
sort of instinctive.
Analog rather than digital.
Yes, yeah,
I get
just
that. A real slide up a curve.
I get that, yeah.
Rather than going one lap, 10 seconds less.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
I think you would gain a lot from that because your tendency is, like a lot of runners, myself included... It's just to set off too fast.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Luckily, not me. I've never done that.
Yeah, of course. But it's very hard to avoid that. It's just really hard. But if you can avoid it, then there's a lot of gains to be had.
Yes.
Be one of those guys getting stronger near the end because...
This time I'm clocking that we're going up this hill.
Yeah.
I'm just telling my legs that's about to happen.
Because you get sort of... It's like exponential growth. It's like interest, compound interest.
Yeah.
As you start to overtake people towards the end, it gives you strength with every person you overtake, which gives you more strength to overtake the next one. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to I'm hanging on and everyone's overtaking me. which is my pattern as well.
Well, it's also a forwards arrow, isn't it? It's instead of being stuck with an arrow pointing straight down to where you are, like the weight on top of your head, or an arrow pointing backwards to where you've come and all the miles you've done, it's an arrow pointing forwards.
Yeah.
Past the other runners.
Yes, yeah.
To the end of the run, you know. Although, that connects me to another thought I had the other night. When we're talking to Jenny Faulkner and the plot spoiler, because that's not out yet. But anyway.
We've been doing a bit of cross-fertilisation, haven't we? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Pod off, pod out. Yeah. No, well, I'm genuinely looking forward to that, because what seems like just simple, good work communion is also a possibility of going for a run in a different place with a different person.
Yes, yeah.
But anyway, she asked a question which is such a key question for marathon runners and something you really wrestle with in your book, but something I hadn't thought about for ages, which is, you know, and it's kind of the BBC News take is, tell us about the wall, what is the wall? Is there such a thing as the wall, you know? And you said, in a way which I think listeners will understand all the nuance of course there's a wall.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a wall. But in a way, It's that thing we were talking about last week about recognising it and pushing it away. You know, you're going to get to a point where it feels really hard.
Yes.
One way or another. But it's up to you what that means to you, yeah. How much weight you give it. Anyway, the thought I had a few days after that was, it's because you can be quite Schrodinger's cat about the whole thing. You know, of course there's a wall.
Yeah.
But if you want to say to yourself, there's no wall, that could also work. In the same way, in a way, there's no such thing as a finish line. If the finish line isn't helping you, there's no finish line. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I know there's actually a finish line. It's there, it's on the ground.
Yes.
There's a big load of balloons. But if that's hurting your run as you pace towards it, let it go, you know, because it's all flow.
But why would the finishing line hurt your run?
Because it makes you feel more tired,
right,
the closer you get to it.
Right, okay.
Take it out of a marathon, put it in a park run, right? And I've said this, definitely said this before, but that's because it's really important to me. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Yeah.
You're doing a park run. You're running 5K as fast as you can.
Yeah.
You've done 4.
Yeah.
You've got 1,000 metres to go.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Paul McKenna's hypnosis kicks in. And you're not going to stop running when you get to the finish line. You're going to turn right.
Right.
And run all the way home.
Right.
You'd be able to maintain that pace. It's all ways of thinking about it. Also,
it's got to work for the individual.
Exactly.
It?
Well, that's the next thing I was going to say. This is all for me.
Yes.
But it's worth talking about because it's
really
important.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Of course it's interesting.
And it's
and there'll be people who share a similar mindset. So, but in some way, so that means in some way you find the concepts of the finishing line a bit oppressing in some way.
Exactly. I came from I was in quite a balanced, neutral space the other day.
Yeah.
Went to go for a run, and I picked up an old marathon t-shirt, and it said on it, finisher.
Right.
I thought, that's a bit negative, isn't it? It just felt negative. It's like an end.
Right.
To something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, life is flow, it's all a river. And you just go through it, and then if you just think of that constant, natural movement forward.
But surely you felt the massive relief at the end of a race, a run, a marathon.
Yeah,
the joy of stopping.
True. It is, that's when the finish line helps you.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about, you know, the things do exist. The question, the discussion is about how you use them.
Yes.
And how it's up to you to use them in such a way that it'll help you.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
I tell you, I got my plank record the other day.
Go on then.
So I plank 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And
in one continuous plank.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I've been doing that for like a year now, you know.
Right.
And I do that 6 days a week, 5 minutes a day. It's part of the 30s.
Yeah.
30 miles, 30 minutes plank. And I just realised that it's made me plateau so badly.
Right.
Because I always get to 4 minutes and think, oh God, it's another minute.
Yes.
Fight and get there. I had exactly the conversation we're having with myself. I was like, it can't be that hard.
You're
giving 5 minutes too much power.
Yes, you know?
One day, when I was feeling well rested, no alcohol, not too much running, no other exercises, like likely to be strong, I very gently decided to go further.
You went beyond.
What if I went further?
You went beyond, yeah.
Yeah, and I chose it. I did it because, you know, I always use songs.
Right.
So I used one of the songs on the playlist that's really long.
Right.
So the 5 minutes falls like in the before the final chorus.
Right, okay, yeah.
So, and I said to my wife, she planks with me. Said to my wife, like really late on, like as a way to trick myself into it. I said, oh, by the way, I'm going to go a bit longer today.
Okay.
And then when it got to 5 minutes, she stopped.
Right. So she can plank for 5 minutes as well?
No, she starts later but finishes at the same time.
Right, okay.
But she's up to 2:15.
Wow.
Wow. You're like a power couple. Power plankers.
What a pair of plankers we are. That's another reason I don't want to go back into the world, is people are going to think we're such idiots.
No, plunking.
Oh, wow, look at this tree. Sorry, look at that. Talking of the shape.
A few fallen trees today.
The art of nature. This one's still alive, though. Look at how it's got bits that grow up and have leaves on the top.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a giant hedge in a way. There we go. Got it.
So go on then. So you surprised yourself.
Yeah, I slightly blackmailed myself. You know, very low key.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going to go a bit longer today.
Yeah.
But I was right. The voice in my head that had been saying this was right. 5 minutes passed, and my body just went, "Oh, I see, we're not stopping."
Yeah.
And then, honestly, long story short, my new plank record is 6:15.
Yeah.
And that last minute 15 was so much easier than minute 4 to 5.
Right, interesting.
Because the difficulty of it was a story I'd been telling myself, you know? And when I stopped at 6:15, I just thought, oh, I might as well stop here.
That's the difference with a race, though. I mean, I suppose it's just still a story you tell yourself, but it's also, it's a distance imposed, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a... I think it's ways of framing it. I can totally see.
It's obviously personal.
Yeah.
You know, another person would go, "I don't know what you're talking about." Or someone else would say, "I get that, but I don't get it how it relates to running." But for me, that I literally found that thing in the park run where I thought, "What if I just ran home?"
Yeah.
It so helped me with maintaining pace during a fast run. Really, it's
yeah.
But I think maybe I'm looking for. I've yet to find that. Transcendence in a really long run,
right?
To kind of really separate myself out from how hard it is in those last
it's
miles.
Good to,
you know?
It's good to find ways of disassociation and various techniques and stuff.
Yeah
totally. And everyone's gonna find different ones, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I can imagine four to five. I mean, you've broken the back of that now, haven't you?
Yeah.
You can, if you want to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just kind of... that's the funny thing. Yeah, yes and no, you know, that was a week ago, right?
Yeah.
And it will disappear into the memory and it'll be ages before I do it again.
Yeah.
By the time I do it again, I won't believe I'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
And in the meantime...
And do you look at the... Sorry to get a bit technical.
Yeah.
Do you look at the clock while you're planking?
Try not to.
Right.
That's mainly what the purpose that the song serves.
Yes, yeah.
Because it keeps me, you're definitely moving forward through time. Without checking in on it all the time.
So is there a way of sticking, I don't know, you might even do this, sticking four tunes that add up to 20 minutes to try to help you get under 20 minutes of the park run?
Oh, that's
sort of.
Do you know, that's absolutely fascinating because I hadn't thought of that. And I really do use, obviously I use music for the, let's take the next ride so we can run past these people on the other path.
Yeah.
I really, look at those, I don't know what they are. Little blue flowers. I have a special parkrun playlist.
Right.
Really powerful tunes.
Yes.
And I know roughly how long they are.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So I can tell that when there'll be about four tunes, and when I get into the fourth one, I'll be thinking, oh, I should get to the end before this one.
Yes. Yeah.
But I've never crossed my mind to actually
stick a 1952 playlist together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, lots of rock and roll.
It's an idea.
I'm just starting to do the year. It's nice to know parkruns are coming back because I've started doing the rubbish joke where I always think you're talking about a year, not a time.
Yeah. But I don't know, might help, might not.
It's a good idea. I like it. I mean, that is exactly the balance.
Progressing.
We're talking about the balance I need.
Yeah.
Where you've got a really... I hope people are following this in the long game of the podcast because this is really interesting, important thinking for me. The only other week you were saying, you're always counting, you always know how much you've done.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. But it's so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, because at one level, in the front brain, I find that stuff really... like a terrible noise.
Yeah.
Counting, you know, swim, counting the lengths, counting the laps. Oh, God, shut up. But on the other hand, I love a framework, which is basically doing that counting for me.
Yeah.
So that I can still do all that achievement without hitting myself.
Having to focus on it
with
too much.
You know,
so
finding all these hippie-ish angles is really good for me. And so that could work because the music one's perfect.
And also it's sort of going from something a bit more... increasing the tempos of the tunes
as
you go along, sort of, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think a lot of people do, and quite naturally, tune into, Robin, tune into beats per minute at the pace they want to run.
Right, okay.
It's too literal for me. And it's partly right at the beginning when I was just beginning to run, if I heard a song that was about my pace, it was too hard a taskmaster, you know, kind of my legs would lock in with it.
Right.
I'd be running like I was dancing.
Yeah.
I remember doing this too. Oh, some bit of jumping, and just keeping that pace up. And within a few hundred metres, oh, this is great, this is perfect, I run along to this. And before long, my thighs are aching, I bet my gait was off and tense.
Yeah.
Just really working against myself. So I always, I think for, again, the same thing, someone else could really respond to a BPM to heart rate connection, and it's one that I would avoid, because it's not about inspiration, it's about distraction.
Right.
But on the other hand, we're at quite a sophisticated level now with that distraction.
Yeah.
If I'm also using it to get times and things, so, you know.
Yeah.
I think, I was thinking the other day that it's really exciting to imagine running next to other people again and how much inspiration that's going to bring. But I think it might also take some getting used to again.
Yeah, I think it will. I think it will for everyone, yeah.
But I'm sure a 5 or a 10K with other people would not feel as far as one run on your own.
Yeah. It's going to be quite confrontational for other park users as well, isn't it? When 3,000 people turn up on a June morning in Hackney and start charging around.
That was a real moment of realisation for me when I realised the reason they're doing all the park runs at once is because if they ran them out, drizzled them out,
yeah, there'd be loads.
Then that first weekend people would drive hundreds of miles.
Yes. Yeah.
Just thronging. So what do you think? You know, we've still never... Oh, God, I'm sorry if you're not a bird fan. Look at Jay. Jay on the go. My goodness. Why isn't there? Does anyone know, listeners, why there isn't a park run in Clissold Park? And if there isn't a good reason, should me and Paul start one?
They tried to do a series of
5K evening runs.
Evening 5Ks. Yeah. A few years ago, and it's testament to how few people turn up and how low the quality is of the races that I podiumed. I was third.
Yes!
And I managed to...
And you were still in a suit.
...clamber back onto the podium.
It's kind of a briefcase.
Yeah, it was weird. It just didn't get the people. It's really... I can't quite understand that.
Well... Maybe it's different now, and maybe it'll be different after
maybe it's the
last
evening.
Years, but I think that parkrun and track races, well, I don't think they're very different, but they are perceived very differently, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe it was just an evening, didn't suit people.
Yeah.
Because I thought this is just going to be really popular.
Yeah.
But it was just me and two other people, hence the podium.
And maybe some kind of timing, because I really wanted to do it and I couldn't. So
yeah,
there must be something that goes on. Just getting you in that skyline. There he goes. That's great.
So we're on our second lap.
Yeah.
Hampstead.
It is lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, nice gentle run. It's nice.
It's quite nice to... Didn't even make the comparison, but we have been... Drawing the 5-minute line back there at the cafe and the bandstand.
Yeah.
It's nice to run through it and then forget it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you've just noted that now, a mile or two later.
Have you been running any length at all recently? I don't know. What have you been?
I think I get to... I've been getting to double figures once a week.
Right.
And to run 10, 11-ish once a week.
Yeah.
And... I've been trying to balance three things. Trying to keep some pace in there. Trying to keep double figs in there. Trying to not wear myself out and get more injured.
Yes, yeah.
So,
it's a fine...
It's a balancing act.
It is a fine line, yeah.
So I think if I was leaning into any corner of that triangle, it's the pace rather than the distance.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to go out and do 13 or maybe a bit further, maybe a 15, 16 mile run Monday soon.
Yeah.
But I'd take it really easy.
Yes.
Or even over a couple of runs in a day. Of course, if you do that too much, it's fake. It's not easy.
And you get tired as can. Yeah. Yeah, we're still... It's still for all the opening up of things. Everyone's still in a holding pattern, really, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right.
Still holding, still waiting.
It's that combination, isn't it? Yeah. Like you say, of trying to look forward to it and make plans. There's an email about the Edinburgh Festival the other day. It was really good because it said there will be a festival fringe.
Yeah.
Could be this, could be that.
Right.
We'll tell you more at this date.
Yeah.
We've all got used to that rhythm, you know.
Yeah.
For me, 2 years ago, someone sent me that email. I think, well, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Tell me when you've worked it out. But that just doesn't work in 2021.
It's amazing that some people can countenance the idea of spaffing a load of wedge at an Edinburgh Festival. Do you know? On top of a year of no earnings, you know. But I'm sure there will be. And there'll be cheaper ways of doing it, you'd hope.
It'll change accordingly, won't it?
Yeah, you'd hope
it's
so.
Interesting. I saw our friend Eleanor the other day.
All right, yeah.
She is on the bench at the moment, otherwise we'll have to run with her again at some point.
Love to go for a run with her,
yeah. Yeah, she's got a bad foot. And it's a bit like, talk to her about it, because she basically does all kinds of, she just does loads of other exercise.
Right.
And then she'll get back into running, try and manage her foot pain. It just builds up and builds up, you know, so she's really trying to get it properly diagnosed and work out whether she can either fix it or give up on running, you know.
It's something that you never, I never considered.
Straight between the trees.
Yeah.
I never,
we can do it.
He did it!
I never considered when I first started running, and it sounds obvious, how crucial the feet are to the whole process.
You just
take them for granted. But of course, they're your connection to the surface that you're running on.
Yeah.
They're absolutely crucial what's happening with your feet.
Yeah.
And as you get older, it can get a bit troublesome.
See, if we go straight on the right here, we would get to Parliament Hills really soon. I don't know if we've gone quite far enough. We should go
probably
back. Let's go past Kenwood again.
Okay,
we?
Cool. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, they're really key, aren't they?
Yeah, they're absolutely crucial.
And the other thing is, as you get older in life and running, you kind of collect these injuries that don't really go away.
Yeah, that don't properly heal. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, these days, as I hinted at earlier on, the most trouble I have is sleep. I sleep well, I like it, and get plenty of sleep, so I'm not out late at night.
Right.
My blooming foot and my knee.
Yeah.
You know, that's their time.
What in bed when they start? They start toying with you.
Yeah. You can't learn different sleeping techniques, you see. How have you learned to sleep when you were a tot? That's how you sleep.
Yeah.
So these days, I'm always hurting my knee, always hurting my little toe.
Right.
And I'm always getting cold.
Right.
I just wake up somehow and go back to sleep. Yeah.
That's proper old stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, what's the jingle
just
for this one?
Just getting cold.
Mortality! Yeah. The old man's back again. Old man's back again. And yet, do I get the vaccine? Do I? When I did my fast run on Saturday, I had that weird, really twisted thought, which is when I'm out and I start to get a little like asthma.
Right.
And I think, oh good, that means I'm going fast enough.
You should have.
I mean, light chapel breathing. I must have gone at a good pace.
Couldn't you have played the asthma card for the vaccine?
It's too late, isn't it? I totally should have got diagnosis on that.
Right.
Because it sounds pretty fake, doesn't it? But basically, I had asthma when I was a teenager, or a young teenager.
Yeah.
And when I run fast, I get a little bit.
Right.
And then it led to the rest of Saturday, me just going wheezing and coughing. All my family looking at me with terror.
Yes.
And me just thinking, this is so good to know that this is from the running.
Yeah. Yeah.
I reckon if I did a proper park run this Saturday, I would probably come in between 21 and 22 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be a shock for me pushing for 5K. I'm going to have to do some some if proper training.
If you ran a fast 5K today, I mean, you know, real honest with your fitness and stuff, what do you think you're looking at there?
I reckon I'd be around the same time as you.
Yeah.
Between 21 and 21 and a half.
Yeah.
Massively dependent on how much I weighed that particular day, which seems to fluctuate wildly. I mean, the good thing is I can lose weight quite quickly, seemingly, but I'm also able to gain it very quickly. So. Yeah.
See, I'm exactly the opposite in that I've got all these rules and do all these exercises and my weight never changes. And that doesn't feel like a good thing. I mean, it is good in that it's like so much steadier than it used to be.
Right.
But I would like it to be a little less.
Yeah. It's just hard.
I just have to eat less lunch. That's the one rule I haven't got. Well, some rule against eating the world at lunchtime.
So when you say lunchtime, you're talking...
Dinner time in your language.
Midday.
So. Yeah, yeah. Specifically, because I do 16-8, I'm always really hungry by then.
It's your first meal of the day. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of open-ended. It's often a little bit of a smorgasbord.
Right.
Which is terrible for me, you know. I mean, the idea of something like a buffet.
Yeah.
To me, a buffet is a gauntlet, you know.
Yeah. It's almost a buffet. It's almost always prefixed by the term "eat as much as you can" sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's ironic that they also say running buffet, because it's the buffet that's paid to my running.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on a similar 16-8 vibe. I try not to eat too much at dinner, but you know, you're right though. You can end up pretty hungry after run and having a good old scoff.
Yeah.
And then eating quite heavily at 7.
See, that's the thing, I'm better at that because.
Right.
Because I'm Mr. Know What We're Having, Know What We Need, Dinner Time Man.
Yeah.
I kind of cook quite a nice amount of dinner for everybody.
Right.
That's evening meal food.
Yeah.
That's fine. Hunger wise, that suits me. You know, I'll serve up a bowl of whatever it is, which is just enough for a bowl each.
Right, okay.
And then when that's finished, I'll have an apple and I'm done for the day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the open-ended nature of the lunchtime eating that is where I really have my fun.
We eat loads. We eat loads at tea time. I cooked a really quite bad chicken cacciatore on.
Chicken what?
Chicken cacciatore.
Bless you.
On Saturday, that everyone else found so appalling, it was left for me to finish it off, and I finished it off last night. But it was one of those, it got better every day, something about the tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But basically, I've been eating loads of chicken and tomato sauce last few days.
No, did you know really tomatoes pleasurable. Genuinely get better? If you cook them and let them get cold, they taste better, and they're better for you.
Really?
At least lycopene.
They do. I've noticed that.
And if you're cooking something with meat,
it matures.
It also just matures. The meat drinks the juice back in.
Okay.
The fats blend.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because I could see.
I mean, you've eaten, but do you remember that lasagna I'd made for myself after the virtual marathon?
Yes.
We quite enjoyed it straight after the marathon. But the next lunchtime, when I ate the blooming rest of it.
Yeah.
By rest of it, I think we both know how much that was.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Imagine a dictionary, like a good-sized dictionary.
Yeah.
Made entirely of lasagna.
Nice.
That's like the next lunchtime.
Lovely.
And honestly, so good. And so much better. I have to remember that next time. Anything like that. Like, because you know it with a roast. I was joking, because you know at Christmas when they show all the... repeat all the Christmas TV programs ever.
Yeah.
We watch them. And if I've seen Jamie Oliver say, take the turkey out and let it stand for 2 hours. I know it sounds a long time, but do let it stand for 2 hours.
Yeah.
He just says that every year, 4 times. Right. So I've seen him say it 150 times.
Yeah.
But he's got a point. And it's not just meat.
Well, I could see them. I could see, which way do you want to go?
Should we go this way, just so it's done to last time?
I could see the family starting to envy the cacciatore as the days went on.
Too late.
As it started, yeah, it's too late.
They had their chance.
They were so rude on Saturday.
You're like Henny Penny having bread. Or is it chicken licking?
I served it to George and Rachel. they just slagged it off for about 20 minutes. The sauce was watery. At one point, Ra took the skin off the chicken and said, oh, you should have fried that off so it was crispy, and just threw it on the table.
Ooh.
I was like, this is getting a bit harsh. And then she said, oh, sorry, I thought I was on MasterChef. We've been watching so much MasterChef. She'd defaulted to the MasterChef
sort of
position of food critique. But they were regretting it last night, mate.
Yeah. Are you sure? It's the very end of that story that feels the least like. But then they all realised I was a hero.
You'll see.
That dog had a distinctive run, didn't he?
He did have a distinctive...
Quite a gait.
Sort of splayed leg.
Yeah. I don't know if it was going to last, but it was ridiculous.
So we're cutting across, Tam said, we're going to go up to the top of Primrose Hill at some point. We're cutting across the Primrose Hill, sort of.
Parliament Hill, sorry. Yes. We've copied our own, probably the first half, maybe the first two-thirds of the first loop.
And we've just veered off.
We stayed in Kenwood Gardens just for another maybe quarter of a mile. And this means that we'll come on slightly higher ground, coming west of the bathing ponds and just gradually climbing up so that we finish, or rather climax our run on Parliament Hill, look across town, drop down to
the bike.
And it's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been lovely.
How lucky we are to come here. I mean, I think the first time we ran here, it's like a religious experience for me. Now I'm taking it for granted again and looking at people's runs in their country.
Expanse, the wild expanse.
Yeah. Look, there's a National Trust fan down there. But always that fantastic Oz-like view of the London skyline just popping up.
Yeah.
Shiny and blue and sci-fi looking.
In the distance.
Horizon.
So where are you at with your book at the minute?
Oh, it's exciting.
What's going on?
It's just currently... I just read the first proof.
Right.
Which, after the copy edit, was brilliant, because the copy edit was a massive creative wrestle.
Yeah.
So I was ready for the proof to be a bit like that. And it was just reading my book.
Right.
Occasionally finding like a little mistake, something needs to change.
Yes.
But basically going, oh yeah, this is good.
Good.
It's like a whole book.
Fantastic. Awesome.
And the cover's really lovely.
Incredible.
And just in the process of signing it off, really.
Good for you.
They haven't... Just at the beginning of talking about servicing all the brilliant additional things that people pledged for when they helped me fund it.
Right.
Like passes to comedy gigs and running playlists and the like.
I'll throw in a dish of cacciatore if you want.
That's right. What was the thing you wanted that was that you had anyway? Did you pay for a run with me?
I think I paid for a weekly run with you. And to record it.
Yeah.
That's proof.
I don't know if we're going to have time for that between these podcast records.
Wait a minute.
That sentence is going to run concurrently. Anyway, so just at the beginning of that and kind of PR for it and stuff, it's all part of all this exciting, what's going to happen next.
How exciting, yeah, yeah.
How inviting this great something's going to be.
I had a brief chat about... possibility of a second book yesterday.
How much can you tell us about this?
No, just at the very exploratory stages of ideas, really, but something to go on. He's asked for a page document by next week.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a little... Just nice to see the guy from Bloomsbury who's...
Now we know why he walked off the ward.
Yeah.
I'm a writer.
Yeah.
You people don't understand me.
I'm an artist. This is my uniform.
Strips naked.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you the life of the mind. we had a Zoom yesterday with a guy from Bloomsbury.
Yeah. Zoomsbury, I call it.
And he was...
Heard of a Zoomsbury?
He was, we had a Zoomza, and he looked such a state. His mid-40s, had a young baby just going into lockdown.
Yeah.
He's working from home.
Young babies are the worst kind, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the worst ones. I've got a 35-year-old baby.
Oh, I need my nappers done. Don't worry, I'll do it myself.
I like breastfeeding. But he looks, and he's got the builders in next door as well. He looked like a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, when you see people on Zoom and you think, I haven't seen you in a while, and it's lockdown and loads of things have happened.
I caught a zombie.
He looked an absolute state.
Yeah.
So everyone's going through it, aren't they?
Is it going to be like one of those, like when Alan Partridge got his new contract?
Yes, it's going to be a
movie trying to help him sign it.
Yeah. This is nice. So we're cutting across to...
We're just going up past the copse of woods, the old burial mound thing, which I'm reliably informed is fake, but it's very nice.
Right.
And near that tree I can basically climb the lowest branch of. And we'll cut left through the woods.
Oh, yes.
It just really does feel like you've just run a little bit further in a little bit more air, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's nice, yeah. It's nice. I'm going for a run, a social run, with old Sean Walsh tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Who I haven't seen in ages.
I'll say hello.
And he's... It's weird because we're going to meet up for a walk somewhere. I've heard... He told me he goes for a run every now and again. I thought, why not? Let's just go for a run.
Yeah.
It's quite exciting going for your first run with someone else, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's quite sort of...
That was us one day.
Yeah.
Do you remember that day?
I remember that. But it's quite a sort of progression in a social relationship, isn't
it? On the other hand, you should try and, don't talk to him about anything good, because if it's any good, we'll have him on for a guest.
We'll get him on, yeah. But,
so only talk to him about stuff that's either deadly dull or incomprehensible to normal listeners.
Yes.
Or secret.
It's going to be interesting to see what kind of runner he is, because he says he goes for run. And it's going to be... There's always that going on as well, isn't it? When you don't know someone very well.
Well, he did.
And you go for your first run.
And he's never been the... He doesn't give the impression of being the... But certainly back in the day, he wasn't the cleanest living guy.
No, not at all.
He had a line in his set, in his earlier set, about how someone said, oh, you should do exercise. And he's like, I get out of breath grating cheese.
Yes. Yeah. He's... He hasn't had a drink in like a year and a half. And he exercises a lot, so...
Who has?
Who has, really?
Yeah, I mean, really.
How's that been?
Look, here he is. Does it look lower than ever to you? No, it's quite high when you get to it.
Another... Another epic tree.
We'll do that next time. Because, I think the battery's running out on my phone, so morning, magpie.
How's the... How's the boozing? How was the booze and me?
Well, I could say it was a bit. I did 3 days at the weekend, and
right, what
frankly, quite celebratory type boozing Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right,
but I stopped after Sunday.
Right,
it's all same old story, right?
Yeah.
It feels good to not drink. It feels good to drink.
Yeah.
Life is balanced.
Yeah.
I think the key thing is, I do come back to it a lot, and it's someone else I'd like to talk about too on the show again. What Ed Gamble said about just making sure that whatever you decide to do, you don't use it as a stick to beat yourself up with.
Yeah.
You know, because you can do that with the... You can do that if you say, sod it, I'm going to have as many pies as I want.
Yeah.
You punish yourself with the pies.
Unless you've decided...
If you say, sod it, I'm going to run every day.
Unless you've decided...
You can punish yourself with the run. You've just got to be good to yourself.
Unless you've decided to use a stick to beat yourself up with.
Yeah, and
then just
case,
do what you want. Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just make the best of it.
It's my decision.
I'm loving it. Oh, it's just what I like. It's my way of getting through. I'm sorry that what was once all different people has always
morphed into
cartoon
one.
Cartoon Northern. There we are. St. Paul's in front of the Shard.
Nice.
Brilliant. It's kind of limpid today, isn't it? Really flat blue. There's a light haze to it.
Beautiful.
I wonder if my...
We've reached the top of the city.
Yeah. Great.
First base, Kilimanjaro.
See, we haven't run that far. How far do you think we've run?
I don't know, about 6.5, 7 maybe?
Just under 7.5.
Right, oh, okay.
Just get a picture of this. On the famous...
Not that many people around, but I suppose it is Tuesday midday, isn't it?
Tuesday, that's right. It's more like normal life,
Yeah.
Like not Sunday on a lockdown, or summer's day when it's not a lockdown. You know?
Yeah, it's nice. It's settled down a bit.
This way.
Should we go this way? Should we go
this way?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have to take it
straight
slowly
down the front.
Here. Take it slowly down there and then.
Talking of the book.
Yeah.
Once or twice, I played with the concept, particularly when running in the country and in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah.
Of running out into the view. That was something I had to defend from the editor. It's like this, like we're doing now. You look at a view and then you run out into it. And
yeah.
Like, what do you mean? You mean towards it? I said, no.
Yeah.
Running into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
When Paddington goes to the cinema.
Immersive. Yes. Yeah.
Did you read your book to yourself whilst you wrote it? Like, did you read bits of it or what?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Because
I think I think I might have said it before, but that's a big takeaway of my first book. It was just to constantly reread it while you write it to get out to really, the bits you don't want to read are the bits you want to have a look at, sort of.
Yeah. No, that's right. You want to be, and I, you know, it's strange. It's a balance, isn't it? Because it's yours to work with and kind of curate and change, and yet you're trying to get to a point when you're reading it to yourself where you are the audience.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like you're basically. You can never be too objective about it. You're always going to be your biggest fan.
Yes, you'd hope
so. But you want to
be
far enough away from it to go, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Look at the London Eye coming into that gap there. This is where we found out that my son needed glasses. Poor lad. He was about four, we're standing here saying, look, there's the London Eye. I can't see it. It's there.
Yeah, come
you
on.
Can see it. We should get to the opticians.
Well, that's a very exciting prospects, isn't it?
Oh, it's such
having
a thrill,
book coming out. It's amazing, yeah.
And it'll be nice, you know, it's just nice to be in that club, you know.
Yes,
It's great that you've got a book and it's still exciting that it exists.
Yes, of
just
course.
Just as it's done.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll have to see if anyone beyond the people who've already pledged to get it wants my book. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
But I've got... Again, it's as is so often the case with us, I'm at a different point on the road. But I've got an idea for another book.
Yeah.
And also, separate from all that, we should do a book together.
We should do it at some point, shouldn't we?
Particularly as, I think we said we do a book together, I don't know what you're imagining, listeners, but we talked about it before. And it's nice, we've done interviews before, like for press things.
Yeah.
Well, basically, if they do a Q&A, we just both answer and just take in turns.
Yes.
And I just like, it'd be nice to do a bit like that, because it wouldn't be too
why
much
we?
Pressure. It wouldn't be like Fraser and his brother trying to write a book, you know
why
what I mean?
Why don't we just publish the transcripts of Running Commentary?
That's what I meant.
Loads of people
would
read.
I know why.
Loads of people would read that.
There's some repetition here. This is incomprehensible.
And this what's is this about?
Just edit it down. We're down to 2,000 words.
The slides were saying, good morning, Running Commentary.
We're down to 2,000 words, and 400 of those words are,
seemingly large passages of the book rendered incomprehensible.
Tone of voice.
Yeah.
Impossible to render in print. Why can't you write in this accent?
Wondering whether we might possibly have heard this before in episode 12.
Episodes 12, 47, 49, 101.
Well.
So, yeah, something to think about.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that was a great run. That was lovely. Really enjoyed it. Just under 8 miles, I'd imagine.
Yep. Yeah, we should
nice
do this again
slow.
Next week.
Yeah, just popping it out. Yeah, we should go for a run next week and record it.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.